Hey everybody, you're listening to Swift News. This is the weekly news show all about iOS development where I take everything I found on Twitter, newsletters, Slack channels, YouTube, you name it, I curate all that information into a weekly show for you to make sure you stay up to date. Now this is the audio version of the show that I usually do on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/SeanAllen, all about iOS development. And on that show, I'll usually have the blog post up and I'll be highlighting the text that I'm talking about. When I show videos of the ARKit examples, you can actually see them. So this podcast is for people that are on the go and can't sit in front of the computer but still want the news. However, if you do want to see all those visuals that I talk about, be sure to check out the YouTube video. All right, with that out of the way, on to Swift News. What's up everybody? It's Monday. Time for that Swift News. Before we dive in, I need a favor. I'm curious. So you guys know about the Swift News hoodies? Well, the merch shelf on YouTube was only in the US, but now they've expanded it outside the US. So if you see the merch shelf under the video, if you're watching on desktop, let me know. And also let me know what country you're in. And you know, buy a hoodie if you want. Also, check out the podcast iOS Dev Discussions. I'm going to be starting to do podcast-only episodes. Right now, it's just audio from my YouTube videos, but there will be some podcast-only stuff. So if you're not subscribed to that, get on that. And then also check out Swift Over Coffee, the podcast I do with Paul Hudson of Hack with Swift. Good stuff there. On with the show. Kicking things off, we have an article from Stuart Hall, co-founder and CEO of AppBot, talking about flexibility and choice is the future of work. So this is a discussion about, you know, remote work versus on-site versus a mixture of both. And I thought it was a really good article and it really echoed how I feel about this subject. So basically he saw a tweet from Alexis Ohanian, I probably mispronounced that, but he is the founder of Reddit, I believe, that says remote work is the future of work. And Stuart's rebuttal and kind of how I feel as well is, it's not just remote work, but the flexibility is the future of work is what he says. So basically what Stuart's talking about is giving your employees the flexibility to work how they want to work and how they are the most productive. This could mean they work from home 3 times a week and come to the office 2 times a week. Or, you know, for example, here's my case. I work from home once, maybe twice a week. The days I play basketball, I come in early, but I leave earlier. You know, the days I don't play basketball, you know, I come in later, but stay later. So I basically get to make my own schedule and morph my schedule to accommodate my needs. And the whole point of this article is saying that giving your employees the flexibility, like, that'll make them happy and you will be rewarded. And I say that all the time about the position I'm at the startup I'm with. The quality of life at this startup is so, so high. Naturally, you're at a smaller startup, so you might not make as much as you did if you went to a, you know, larger, you know, more established company. But the flexibility I have, the quality of life I have is amazing. And that's the whole point of this article. So I want you to keep this in mind if you are looking for a job. It's just, you know, salary is not the only thing to keep in mind. You know, that your flexibility is a big deal as well. So it says the remote option has allowed AppBot employees to do things like, you know, attend their local gym during their lunch break. You know, you want to take a 2-hour lunch, you know, play basketball at lunch. I know some people do that. Cool, do it. You know, the flexibility is the big thing here. Working from home with an early start slash finish allowed a partner to go back to uni after hours, you know, school, drop off, pickup. Again, I don't want to kind of beat a dead horse here, but giving your employees flexibility to work how they want to work, that's what he says is the future of work. Now, obviously, if you're remote and you don't have the option to go to the office, that's a different story. But again, like my case where I live in San Francisco and the office is in San Francisco, but I can still kind of come and go as I please. Don't get me wrong, this is all performance-based. As long as you're getting your job done, cool. If that flexibility means you're not hitting your deadlines, you're not getting your work done, that's an issue. And he kind of touches on that here is often I hear employers worry that their team will slack off at home and end up at the beach rather than working. And then he says, you know, if you don't trust your team to do the right thing, it's more of a reflection on you than them. And this is what I agree with right here. Good people are trustworthy and will repay you for that flexibility. Like, again, I love going to work every day. And the fact that I have that flexibility makes me happy where I'm at, makes me want to do a good job, makes me want to over deliver. And I don't feel like I'm being taken advantage of, right? And again, to sum this up, really, this wraps it up, says, in my opinion, enabling people to work how they feel most comfortable and productive is what we should be aiming for. Up next, we have an article from John Sindel all about building iPad Pro features in Swift. Now, if you follow John on Twitter, which you should be, you've been seeing a lot of the cool stuff he's been doing. And this article is kind of like a summary of that. So pencil versus touch, you know, using the pencil as another like input device. And the cool thing here is, and I didn't know this, but the cool thing is that we can also easily differentiate between the touch and pencil input in code, giving us the power to essentially add a whole new level of interaction to our iPad app. So he's doing things like, you know, selecting with a pencil, double tapping on the pencil to copy paste. I mean, I could run through this long article, but he's put out some cool videos, so let's check those out. So go to John's Twitter page. We'll scroll down a bit to the first one here. Here he is going to select a bunch of pictures. As you'll see, I want to fast forward so you can see he's going to select. You're going to get a contextual menu pop up. You know, he does mark all his favorites. So again, it's just another quick selection using the Apple Pencil. He's got more. We'll do a couple more here. Here you can see him easily selecting text. And then he did it so where you just double tap on the pencil and it'll copy. And then you can actually paste it just using the double tap on the pencil as well. So I don't know about you. I've dragged my finger on my phone so many times trying to get the right selection. It's a pain in the butt. Pencil's here to save the day. And then finally, he did something with his gaming engine where he's running his game, actually, and he's editing on the fly. I'll try to fast forward to a part where, yeah, he's going to build a basically an obstacle on the fly as the game is running. You see he's dragging up with his pencil to build that, and you're kind of game developing on the fly using the Apple Pencil. So John's doing some really, really cool stuff with this new iPad Pro and pencil functionality. So if you're not following him on Twitter, you're not checking out his blog, you're making a mistake. Do that now. Next up, we have the code for the SourceKit LSP being released on GitHub. If you're not familiar with LSP, we covered it last week. That is the language server protocol. Basically, what this allows for is, you know, Swift and Xcode can adopt this protocol, and a lot of other IDEs are adopting the protocol as well. And then you get a lot of the basic functionality for that language that you would normally be used to in Xcode. Things like down here, like code completion, quick help with hover, jump to definition, find references, and more is coming. As you can see, this is just not yet released, these red X's, but that is all going to be coming. But this is just the start of it. You know, they announced it about a week ago, and now here you see the first little bit of it rolling out. So if you want to check out the code for this, here's the link in the article right here to go to the GitHub. And basically, like you said, it enables the first class support for Swift and cross-language projects in editors such as Visual Studio Code and Sublime Text. So again, it's writing Swift in other editors besides Xcode is just one aspect of this. So yeah, the SourceKit code is up. Go ahead and check that out and maybe implement that if you'd like. Up next, we have a quick little Twitter thread from Renaud Lionheart. And basically, he's a longtime developer. I've been following him for a while. As you can see in his bio, he used to work at Apple on the Home app. But if you read the first thing, it says, yesterday was the official public release of the app Cocoa with Love. I've been developing for around 8 months. He gives his thoughts on making an app from scratch in 2018, because he's been a longtime developer working on established code bases. So here he says, disregarding the limited utility of the app for most of you, I'd just like to quickly talk about how developing an iOS app from scratch in 2018 feels like. I'm just going to highlight a couple of the tweets here. He talks about the architecture. They use MVVM in RxSwift, but here's the main one I wanted to point out. Secondly, Swift, you know, from value types to case iterable, passing by decodable, generics, et cetera, all the cool features of Swift. Swift has become an essential pillar of the code we write. I love Objective-C, but I would never want to go back. So that's pretty telling. Obviously, all I know is Swift, so I love to hear that. Yeah, it's pretty telling. I like that. And then down here, he says, overall, this was and continues to be an amazing code base to work on. iOS development, thanks to technologies such as Swift and FRP, Functional Reactive Programming, has come a long way from what it was just a few years ago. You don't need a boatload of CocoaPods anymore. You don't need a team of 50 engineers to maintain a bunch of dynamic code and the thousands of unit tests it entails. All you need is a fresh, modern, trustworthy approach to writing apps, and 2018's iOS provides that. So, love to hear that. It's good to see Swift, iOS, and the whole ecosystem is in a really, really good place in 2018, and hopefully the future is even better. Up next, we have a giant white screen for you to look at. It's beautiful, right? No, this is the Lottie editor. I did a video all about Lottie animations. You can check it out here. Link will be in the description. I also talked about it on Swift Over Coffee. I've been using it in my app a lot lately. But if you basically what Lottie does is you can basically in After Effects and a plugin called Body Movin', you can create your animation, it exports some JSON, and you just plug that JSON into your code using Lottie, you know, the library from Airbnb, and it'll run these smooth animations that, you know, look like this. Now, what this Lottie editor does is, you know, most developers might not have the After Effects skills to create these amazing animations. So what Lottie Files is just a site with hundreds of these animations you can grab and use in your app. And let's say I like this transfer icon here, so we'll download that, drag JSTAG transfer.json into the Lottie editor. And so here's the basically the JSON running. And I can change, you know, whatever color I want. So say I really love this, you know, animation. I just don't like the purple. So if I click on here, I can make it this teal color. And I have to, you know, do every single one of them. But, you know, you get the idea of what you can do. So once you change all the colors you want, you know what? We're halfway there. Let's just do it. Bam. So now I really wanted this, you know, tealish green color. So cool. I changed that. And then you just hit this giant download button. And now you get the new JSON to plug in to use with Lottie. So if none of that made any sense, you haven't used Lottie before, highly recommend checking out my tutorial all about it. Really lets you put in some amazing animations into your app very easily. Next up, I want to talk about onboarding in the site useronboard.com. This is just an educational piece here. So basically what this site does, he does teardowns, and it's like basically a slideshow of all the teardowns he does, but he's done over 100 of them, and he does all like the major ones. Like, well, this is Bitcoin, but it looks like it's Coinbase, but like let's click on Dropbox. And again, he's done basically all the major apps. So if you're curious like to learn the best practices of onboarding, you know, it says one of 96 slides, but you fly through them. But he'll go through the onboarding of these apps and he'll give notes, you know, about what he thinks. And he's you know, seen onboarding for hundreds of apps, so he knows what he's talking about. So for example, here, if you look back, they put sign up with Google at the top and then sign up down low. And he points that out here. It says Dropbox must really want us to sign in with Google. It's offered as the first option, even though we explicitly got here by selecting the other option. So it's interesting to see things like that. And then, you know, he'll point out stuff that it's also kind of weird that the placeholder text varies from examples to reiteration to clarification, right? So Johnny Appleseed, an example of a name, but email address just reiterates email address, password required. So, and again, he'll just point out like best practices. If something is not great, he'll point that out. I'm trying to find something not good here. Usually they're in the yellow. You know, if something's not good, and it'll be in the green or the blue if something's good. But again, you know, I don't want to sit here and flip through this whole thing, but he goes through and just points out the good and the bad of a bunch of onboarding. So if you're not familiar with how to develop a good onboarding flow, I would just sit here. It takes like 10 minutes to go through each one. Just go through a bunch of them and you'll start picking up on some best practices and, you know, and what works and what doesn't. But it's also just good to see how literally hundreds of apps, you know, have done their onboarding to get inspiration for your own. So again, that is useronboard.com. Definitely check that out. Link is in the description. Moving on, I want to share a story that you know, really resonated with me, and I hear a version of this quite a lot from people that watch my videos and in my community. And it's all about people going from no programming experience to making the transition into becoming a, you know, a full-time iOS developer. And here's another story. Here, Jordan Legron is one of my followers. He mentioned me in a tweet, and I, you know, checked out his profile, and one of his pinned tweet was, it says, you know, how a lost kid, basically this headline, and it showed the picture of him playing basketball. So you know, I'm going to click on that 1,000% of the time. That definitely got my attention. So it says, before I decided to pick up coding, I shot 44% from 3-point range. 44, that's it. Come on. Come on, Jordan. Step it up. No, I'm just kidding. I never played college ball, so I can't talk shit. But anyway, if you are an SF one day, let's get some shots up. I'll love to challenge you in a contest there. That's all I do. I'm just a 3-point shooter. Can't do anything else. But anyway, his story is basically, again, echoes mine a lot. Talks about how he went to school to play basketball, didn't really know what he wanted to do. He failed like his only computer science course, like computer science and development wasn't even a thought. And then graduated, you know, not really knowing what to do, and, you know, decided he wanted to become an app developer. So here it is. It says, fast forward 2.5 years later, most people would have thought I was crazy for trying to make a career out of something I had no background in. Been there. I quit my job to just pursue it full time. So like I said, I was determined to prove the naysayers, my doubters, and even myself wrong. So that really resonated with me. It also helps that he says, so I did just that. For the next couple months, I locked myself in my basement, spent hours and hours and hours reading blogs, YouTube videos, and stuff. You know, I highly recommend this guy if you're just starting off. That's me. He links to me. No, and that's true. That's what I did too. I just completely immersed myself. YouTube videos, courses, podcasts, books, anything I could get my hands on to just completely immerse myself in the world of app development is what I did. And it sounds like that's what Jordan did as well. So like I said, this story just like really resonated with me because it kind of mirrored mine. Like I said, it was pretty simple. I was either going to accomplish my goal of learning how to develop apps or I was going to give up, but failure was not an option. Like I said, I quit my job and had like a 6 months window to be like, this has got to happen. Like, I got to make it happen. Put my back up against the wall. And then here's the section, you know, well, I'll be damned. Says the one day something strange started to happen, things started to come together. Like I said, this is exactly what happened to me. Because I immerse myself, with podcasts, YouTube videos, when I first started, you know, most of it flew right over my head. I didn't understand it. But kind of like he says, it's like one day, things just start to click. And it starts to click because you've immersed yourself. You're like, I've heard that before. Now it makes sense, you know. But if you didn't immerse yourself before, it wouldn't have made sense when you heard that. I don't know. And then he goes on to talk about how, you know, everybody learns differently. So find the way you learn. He liked learning via like YouTube. Again, he shouts me out again. And this is not just self-promotion, but this one video I do want to talk about because it resonates with a lot of people. YouTube videos like this one were vital in helping me shape my newfound perspective and keeping a positive outlook. That is my video all about how I became an iOS developer, you know, in 7 months with no programming experience. I get a lot of people who have said, you know, that video is what motivated them to make the leap. So that's very humbling and very awesome to hear. Little humble brag, call it what you want, doesn't matter. But it really makes me feel good when people watch that video and they, you know, decide to, you know, do something about it, and it positively affects them. So great stuff there, Jordan. The next thing I knew, I was starting to understand source control, the usefulness of the command line. This was not on accident either. I had previously, you know, absolutely no coding experience, never written a line of code before July of last year. So a little over a year ago. And basically, like he says, he just immersed himself and just basically dedicated. And he says it here. And he says it later in the thing. I'm not just going to read the whole thing, but he talks about like, you have to really want it. And I tell that to people with programming, like learning the program is hard. You have to really, really want it. I do believe anybody can learn it, but you have to really, really want it and have to really, really love it. Cause that's going to get you through those rough times. If you don't love it and you're just doing it because, well, I heard programmers make a lot of money, like you're not going to make it just because you're not going to have that passion and that drive to get you through those hard times. So, and then I do want to echo what he says here about failure is the main ingredient to success. He's definitely not afraid to fail. I'm not afraid to fail either. Again, that's what resonated with me. I mean, this whole YouTube channel was fuck it, let's try it. You know, Swift News was the same thing. I was like, I don't know if this is going to work. Let's try it. Same thing with how I became a developer. I just dove right in. He talks about just diving in with like a sink or swim attitude. And that's the same attitude that I had as well. So again, Jordan, I appreciated this article because I feel like it really, really mirrored, you know, my story. Aside from shooting 44% in college, shoot about 50% in pickup, though. What about that? Great article, Jordan. Thanks for that. Moving on to AR Kit Corner, we got a video from Shopify. I've said this before. I do think shopping experiences are going to be one of the major things that gets transformed via AR. So you can see how you can shop from shoes. They come up from this weird abyss galaxy looking thing from under the floor, and then the shoes pop up and float in front of you. That's pretty cool, Shopify. And then this was cool too. Basically, you're controlling these home appliances, you know, via Raspberry Pi, but using ARKit too. So when you put the appliance in view, you get an on-off button, you tap the on-off button, and it actually controls the device. So thought that was pretty cool. And then finally, the LOLs of the week, we have iPad Pro Magic. It's not really an LOL, it's just something really, really cool. So this magician, you know, flipping around this iPad. I don't know how he did it. I don't know if he had like a pre-film movie going on and it's just choreographed, you know, to play with the movie on the iPad. I think that's probably what's going on. Either way, it's well-timed, it's mesmerizing, super cool. Give it a watch. And that wraps up this week's episode. If you like what I'm doing here, consider subscribing. I put out Swift News every Monday and a tutorial or two throughout the week. See you in the next one.